Good morning, friends. Welcome to morning worship. We open our worship by singing to God's praise, hymn number 30, I Waited for the Lord My God. Number 30. Rend your hearts and not your garments. Turn to the Lord your God. He is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness. Let us pray. O Lord our God, we thank you for this season of thought and prayer in which we make ready to recall our Saviour's sufferings and to celebrate his triumph. Help us to deny ourselves and be upheld in the hour of temptation. Our sins accuse us, Lord, and trouble our conscience, sins against you, our God, and sins against our neighbor. These sins have taken various forms, Lord, and we seek your forgiveness. We think not only of our own individual sins, but also of our failings as a congregation and as a church. We are here to be your instrument in the world, and we miss opportunities of service. Help us to make room in our life, in our individual life and our church life, to make room for the Lord Jesus Christ, so that we may be more effective servants. Lord, Jesus has taught us that whoever would be his disciples must take up the cross and follow him. Help us to leave behind all selfish indulgence, and to follow the narrow way which leads to life eternal. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory for ever. Amen. We welcome the people of the Jesus and Me Club and their leader, Mrs. Louisa Chisholm, this morning. I went and asked Louisa what was on offer from them this morning, but it's all here on the leaflet for us. It's there. The theme is love, and they're going to sing Jesus Love is Very Wonderful, and Jesus Loves Me, and I present now to Louisa.
This month, the Jam Club talked about love. They made God Cares For Me cards, They made Valentine cards last week, and they also made a clock that says that Jesus loves us at all times. And they've learned the songs they're going to sing now.
People. Now we're going to sing our young people's hymn from Junior Praise, number 252, The Wise Man Built His House Upon a Rock, 252. Thank you. you read God's word in the Old Testament, the book of Genesis, chapter 3, at verse 1. Genesis chapter 3, at verse 1. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die. "You will not surely die," the serpent said to the woman, "for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized that they were naked, so they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. They hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, so I hid." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree from which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree, and I ate it." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." So the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all the livestock and all the wild animals. You will crawl on your belly, and you will eat dust all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel." To the woman he said, "I will greatly increase your pains in childbearing. With pain you will give birth to children. Your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you." To Adam he said, "Because you listened to your wife and ate from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil you will eat of it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken. For dust you are, and to dust you will return." And in the New Testament, Luke's Gospel, chapter 6, at verse 37. Luke chapter 6, verse 37. "Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." He also told them this parable: "Can a blind man lead a blind man? Will they not both fall into a pit? A student is not above his teacher, but everyone who is fully trained will be like his teacher. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, 'Brother, let me take the speck out of your eye,' when you yourself fail to see the plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. No good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For out of the overflow of his heart, his mouth speaks. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? I will show you what he is like who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice. He's like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundations on rock. When the flood came, the torrent struck that house, but could not shake it, because it was well built. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed, and its destruction was complete. And the Lord bless to us the reading of his holy word, and to his name be the glory and the praise. Hymn number 470, Jesus Shall Reign. 470. Luke's Gospel, chapter 6, at verse 48, when the flood came, the torrent struck that house, but could not shake it, because it was well built. It's often pointed out that in the four Gospels, John is very different in many ways from the other three. We can find more similarities among Matthew, Mark, and Luke than between any one of them and John. The same episode in the earthly life of Jesus may be recorded by Matthew and Mark, or Matthew and Luke, or Mark and Luke, or even by all three. But there's less evidence of that where the Gospel of John is concerned. So this parable of the wise and the foolish builders, we've been reading it in Luke's Gospel. It's also recorded by Matthew. Although the Gospel writers have a lot in common, especially Matthew, Mark, and Luke, who together are called the Synoptics, they're also different from one another in various ways. Matthew, for instance, is a Jew himself, very interested in the history of the Israelite people, keen to bring out in his gospel how Jesus is the fulfillment of Old Testament scripture. Luke, on the other hand, is not an Israelite. He's a Gentile, and a medical man with a keen interest in the healing miracles which Jesus performed. Luke doesn't have the local knowledge which Matthew has. He's not so keenly aware, for example, of how the rivers of Palestine behave in summer and winter. The point in this parable which Jesus told, the point is the contrast between the river in summer and the same river in winter. When we were living in Berwickshire, our first summer there was very hot and very dry. We don't get all that many summers like that, but that summer was one. The River Eye dried up almost completely. Even the local people said they couldn't remember when they had last seen such a dry eye. When that happens to a river, it can leave a residue of mud or soft sand towards the river bank on either side. And this is the kind of thing Jesus is thinking about in this parable. Soft, easily penetrable surface towards either edge of the river, where it would be easy to dig, lay the foundation of a house. It would be easy enough to lay the foundation, but it wouldn't have any depth. It wouldn't have any solidity. It would be easy enough to erect the house in summer conditions, but it would not be able to stand up to the storms of winter, the rising level of the water, bringing the flood of water up to threaten the foundation of the house, the rain persistently falling, and most of all, perhaps, the wind reaching gale force and beating against the house. What chance would the house stand in circumstances like that? Nobody, surely, nobody would be foolish enough to use that kind of muddy or sandy ground for the foundation of a house. As he so often did, Jesus is painting an extreme picture, the more readily to drive his point home. And his point is, as frequently in his parables, to show how people ought best to live their life. Those who were listening to him would get the message easily enough. They'd be quite familiar with the kind of scene Jesus was depicting. They would see dried up riverbeds in summer, a lot more frequently than we ever saw the dry eye in Berwickshire. So those listening to Jesus stood a good chance of getting his message, understanding from the parable the point about choosing the right foundation. And we get that point too, although we may seldom have the benefit of seeing a dried up riverbed. What about when it comes to putting the lesson into practice? Well, in some aspects of life it may be easy enough. The foolish builder takes the easy way, the way of least resistance, because he's lazy. He wants to avoid hassle and hard toil, such as that which is illustrated by digging a foundation in solid rock. There are lots of labor-saving devices and methods available to us nowadays, but in some things it clearly doesn't pay to take the easy way, to cut corners, to go for the way involving least effort. That is in practical things, do-it-yourself jobs maybe, and things like that. But Jesus is indicating something deeper than that. He's talking about how people lay the foundation for their life. There's a feature in one of the newspapers I see regularly. It appears in this paper once a week. They interview some well-known person. Well, they're not all well-known to me. And this person mentions five or six things under the heading, "Things I Can't Live Without." Oh, we get all kinds of things mentioned. Favorite places, favorite foods, favorite people, holiday venues, forms of exercise, kinds of music, all this sort of thing. There are some things, though, which I don't think I've ever seen mentioned. Bible, hymn book, teaching of Jesus, church, belief in God, prayer. None of that have I ever seen mentioned as something people could not live without. Oh, it's only a kind of light-hearted feature in a newspaper. It's not intended to be serious teaching or serious advice to the general public. And yet it is typical of the way many people are thinking nowadays, the way they live their life, the foundation on which they build their life. We need to be clear about one thing. Jesus in delivering this parable, is not speaking out against outright evil. He's not assailing the soul or the mind which is warped and engrossed in sin. Rather, he's warning against the kind of slipshod drifting, the easygoing, lazy ways of living, drifting into which we're all liable to slip if we're not careful and if we're not constantly on the watch. Many of us, I'm sure, cannot be bothered with the game of cricket. Just turns us off. But one feature of the game does illustrate how we can find ourselves slipping into careless or even dangerous ways. A good cricket captain, when his side is fielding, will try to take the batsman unawares. The batsman, if he's been in for some time, gets used to the layout of the opposing fieldsman. So the fielding captain, every now and then, moves a fieldsman a few yards to one side or the other, or moves him further out, or brings him closer into the wicket. Not much to notice, but the batsman has to contend with a situation that's slightly different, and maybe it can catch him off guard. It's in just that kind of way that the devil tries to get at us, changing his method of attack slightly so that we may not notice, so that we can drift along in the same old rut, thinking we can cope, dealing with life the easy way without serious effort. The devil goes on with his attacks all the way through our physical life. One thing that means is that we can't afford to slacken or drop our guard even when we are old. Oh, we may say, but when we're old, we're a long way past laying the foundations for our life. That is true, but if we think of the illustration Jesus gave in the parable and take the image a little further, if the house is built on solid rock foundation, it'll not get blown down by the winter wind or swept away by the rising flood water, but it will have to be maintained. The builder who builds his house on rock foundation will have to keep an eye open for various kinds of damage. Oh, what a demanding job the Christian life is. Demanding of our good sense in the first place to lay the foundation on the rock of Jesus' teaching and complete trust in God and obedience to God's commands and God's prompting. And then all the way through, staying on the watch for the damage that the devil can do in the various ways that he keeps on varying. A demanding job indeed. But as we know, the Christian life is not a matter of keeping rules which are written in a book. The Christian life is a walk with the Lord every day. No day more or less important than any other. So here in this day, we commit ourselves anew to him. He'll not let us down. And with his strength and guidance, we will not let him down. And now to God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, now and evermore. Amen. We worship God in presenting our offering. Thank you. Hymn number 608, Spirit of Truth and Grace, 608. Let us pray. O Lord our God, we give you thanks and praise and dedicate to you our thoughts, our words, our gifts, our deeds, the working of our hands, the thinking of our minds, the loving of our hearts. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness which has brought us safely to this hour, for all the gifts of your grace coming to us daily in various ways and sustaining us through all the difficult paths of life. Most of all, we thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you that he went through temptation as we do and that he remained without sin. For the cross he carried and the death he died, for his victory over death and sin, and the hope we have in him of the life eternal. Lord, we pray you continually to cleanse and purify your church on earth, strengthen its members, and inspire us all with the zeal to serve you in the situations in which we find ourselves. We pray for the nations of the world, that there may be peace and concord amongst them. Bless our Queen and the Royal House, and guide and help those in positions of authority and leadership. We commend to your care those in any kind of need, those who are ill, those who are having life hard, those going through any kind of trial. Bless those dear to our own hearts and keep them safe. We thank you, Lord, for the inspiration and example of those who have finished the course of this earthly life in your faithful service. Help us to follow them as they followed the Lord Jesus Christ, and bring us with them to the life everlasting, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, world without end. Amen. Our closing hymn number 498, Angel Voices Ever Singing, 498. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be amongst you and remain with you always.